Well, we're not looking at our typical, normal passage, Easter passage, Resurrection Sunday passage from the Gospels this morning, and there's a number of them to choose from. This morning, we're looking at the words of Paul, and Chad was just up impersonating the Apostle Paul, quoting the book of Romans, but we're going to spend some time in the next few minutes in the book of 1 Corinthians. I'm going to grab a handheld wireless, Andy. This thing's doing its thing. Thank you, Eddie. This passage is all about resurrection theology. Resurrection theology is important because if we don't have the resurrection, then Jesus was just another great guy, another rabbi, another magician, another prophet. But it's the resurrection that makes Jesus somebody different. And it's the resurrection that gives us hope enough to understand the importance of the gospel and what Jesus taught. And because Jesus conquered death, we will conquer death through his power. So I want to look at the end of this chapter this morning because it helps us ask some important application questions when it comes to being raised to life. So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 this morning, verse 35. It says this: "But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? You foolish person. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen. And to each kind of seed, its own body. For all, not all flesh is the same. But there is one kind for humans, and another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies. But the glory of the heavenly one is of one kind, and the glory of the earthly is of another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For star differs from star in glory." So Paul repeats here a common question, and the question is this: what will my body look like in heaven? Have you ever asked that question? What will we look like? I think everybody has. I mean, imagine if you could pick out, what would I look like? I asked in the first service the kids to answer, and I had a 10-year-old up here say, I'd be a 10-year-old girl. And I said, well, what are you now? She's like, I'm a 10-year-old girl. I'm like, oh, okay, so you just want to be you. No, how about you? What do you want to, if you could look like anything in heaven?
I wouldn't want to be an old man.
You wouldn't want to be an old man. Okay, what else?
I want to be like middle age, maybe in my
20s. In your
20s? I still would want to look good.
You still want to look good, though. How do you know you're going to look good in your 20s? You just predicting?
I'm hoping I am.
Are you hoping? Okay. I think you will. Yeah, I was thinking about this. What would I want to look like in heaven? And I came to this weird answer, but it's true. I would love to look like Jack Sparrow. I just think he's the coolest looking guy ever. That would be really, could God have pirates in heaven? I imagine he could. But I wouldn't want to do that whole walk thing, but you know, it'd be really neat. You know, Paul's answer to this question, what are we going to look like in heaven, is kind of honest and brutal. He kind of says it's a dumb question. In fact, what he says here is he says it's the wrong question, because it's too concerned with the earthly shell that we inhabit and not concerned enough with what is supposed to grow out of that shell. He talks in this passage about all kinds of different shells. He talks about humans being a seed or a shell, animals, birds, fish. Then he even talks about suns and stars and planets. And all of these things are shells for something more important. What are they shell for? They are shell for God's glory. God created all there is. God created everything that we can see, know, and experience so that he would receive glory. Everything is a vehicle to bring the gospel to the universe, including you. Your body is a seed out of which should sprout wonderful spiritual things. That's why God has given you a body. And it's important for us to understand that God is less concerned with our physical health on this earth than he is our spiritual growth. This body that you've been given is just temporary. He's not really concerned. I mean, he wants you to take care of it. The Bible talks about being a good steward of it. And he's given it to you for a reason, but it's not here for you. This shell is not here for you. It's here for what's inside of you. In fact, Paul says it this way in 1 Corinthians 4. He says, we have a treasure in a jar of clay. And that jar is cracking and it's chipping and it's falling apart. But every time a piece falls off of that jar, the treasure should show a little more. Your body is merely a vehicle for carrying the gospel. And you know, the gospel can grow magnificently out of your body when we use it for the Lord. I grew up in California, and in California we had avocado trees. And I brought with me an avocado pit this morning. I've got a picture of one up there. Yeah, just like that. The tree that was in our front of our church. I used to climb in that tree and hang from that tree, and it would grow avocados. And this is an avocado seed, right? I called it a guacamole seed earlier. It's an avocado seed. Guacamole does grow in trees. Now, it's just like a little egg, right? Just a little seed. This little thing, putting it into some dirty earth, can grow an incredibly large and magnificent tree that we can pick fruit off of. And that's kind of the idea here, this seed that we have. Now, to grow, the seed has to decay, right? It has to kind of decompose into the earth. My son and I have done our starters. Have you done your veggie starters yet? You know, we all thought it was spring, and we all started our veggies, and then it wasn't spring. Joke's on us. So we already planted our like peppers and tomatoes, but I have cilantro here. I planted some in the first service. Did you know there's a gene? I just learned this week. There's a gene that makes cilantro taste like soap to certain people. It only Anglo-Saxons have it, just so you know. Nobody else would have it. Can you imagine if you only tasted soap when you did cilantro? You guys have a lot of cilantro, don't you? What, is that bad? No, it's true. I've been to your house. So, what am I putting in here, kids especially? What is that? Dirt. What's in dirt? Have you ever heard about what's in dirt? Yeah, dirt's in dirt. It's not great. Would you eat dirt? I eat dirt as a kid. That's why I am the way I am. All right, so in here, I just put these tiny little seeds. Dirt is dirty. That's where we get the word dirty from. Right, it's got all kinds of stuff in it. We put stuff that we shouldn't want to put in our food in the soil to help the food grow out of it. We put nitrates and things in there, right? And this little clean little seed, and these things were spotless little seeds, goes into the dirt, and we press it in that dirt, right? It's dirty, it's gross. And then we pour a little bit of mud or a little water in there, create some mud, and now the seed is really dirty, right? Out of that dirt grows something we're going to put into our mouth and consume. You wouldn't eat dirt, but you'd eat the life that grows out of the dirt, right? It's the same idea here. Our bodies, Paul is saying, are just dirt. They're made from dust. God made us literally from dust. And these bodies are decaying, and they're gross, and they're falling apart. And yet God has given us these bodies as a conduit, as a vehicle to bring the glory of God to this earth. So here's a question this morning. Am I more concerned with what is growing or what is decomposing? Think about that. Is my life more concerned with what is growing out of me that is about the gospel or about the glory of God, or am I more concerned with this body that is dying and withering and decaying anyway? Do I care about the vegetable growing out of it or just the seed? You know, the Bible says that we make our lives about things that rust and moth will destroy. They'll be corrupted. And we make those things treasures, and they're all going to fade. The only thing that we can take beyond this temporary life is the word of God and the souls of man. Mm-hmm. And that has to do with the gospel. The stuff of earth is just not as important as the stuff of your spirit. Look what Paul says next. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, and there is, then there's also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, Jesus, became a life-giving spirit. We talked about that on Good Friday. Adam was an archetype and an antitype of Jesus. Adam messed up the world. Jesus fixes the world as the second Adam. But it is not the spiritual that is the first, but the natural, and then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. Adam was made out of dust. The second man is a man from heaven, that's Jesus. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. That's you and I. We're just like Adam. We're decomposing, we're dying, we're struggling. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. So here's the question. Do you have the second Adam? Have you accepted Jesus, right? Because Jesus, when we talk about being born again, Jesus gives birth to the life inside of us, what grows out of these bodies spiritually. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we also shall bear the image of the man of heaven. Okay, so what do I do with the understanding that my body only exists to die and release the gospel, the glory of the gospel in my spirit? What am I supposed to do with that? Okay, should I even care about this earth and what's going on here? Absolutely, yes. Here's the answer. We need to get to work living out the gospel so that others will understand and sprout spiritually too. You're here, you're on this earth with this temporary body so that you can make the gospel known to the nations, including all the people that live around you, your friends, your family, your coworkers, your neighbors. You exist to bring the gospel through your decaying and dying body to them. Now imagine your body is a seed for something larger inside that can grow and help others come to life and grow too. That's why you're here, but here's the question. What's growing out of you? Does it look like Jesus? What's growing out of this decaying life? Is it the glory of the gospel? Or is it just more of you? Look what Paul says next in 1 Corinthians. He says, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, be immovable, be always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. That's our theme this morning. While we're waiting for Jesus to come back, we're going to be busy working, making this seed pod God has given us do work to bring life. This word work is the Greek word ergon. We get the English word or kind of use of the Greek word ergonomic. You ever heard that, ergonomic? And ergonomic is the idea of making work efficient. So when something is ergonomic, it fits well with you. You can, if it's something that you hold in your hand, it's ergonomic in that you can use it efficiently to accomplish the task. Your life should ergonomically be fitted to the gospel. Your life should be oriented to the gospel in such a way that the gospel finds its way and permeates everything that you do, everything that you say, every action you make, every reaction you have, every response you give, every thought you think, every time you serve someone. Ergonomically, the gospel should permeate it. That's what this word means. We're here to make our entire life, not about us, because this is dying and decaying, about what is eternal, and that's the gospel. It's worship work. Worship work. Last week, Pastor Dave gave four P words. I'm going to give five P words this morning. I'm going to one-off him. Worship work is the following things. What does it mean to do worship work on this earth? It means I'm pure, striving for purity. You can't worship God in sincerity if you're living a double life. And so the first thing I want to do is orient my life to Jesus and live purely for him. Proclamation. It's proclaiming the gospel with my whole life. Praise. That's what we're doing this morning, praising God. Prayer. Making my life about continual communication with God and confession of my sin. Pursuit. Pursuing others in love. That's worship work. That's doing work that matters eternally beyond the death and decay of this mortal life. It's the idea Jesus paid it all, right? All to him I owe. Paul wants us to understand three things as I wrap up this morning. Three things about doing worship work for God. Right, number one, Jesus already did the hardest work that we can't do on our own. He did the law keeping. You and I can't do it. We struggle. We struggle to obey. We struggle to do right. We struggle to keep pure. Jesus was perfect because he wasn't a man of dust. Yes, he was born into the dust, but he was sent from heaven. He brought spiritual life. And he came and kept this law. He had the ability to keep this law. And he didn't just keep the law for us. He even paid the penalty of the law that we broke. That was the death. That was going to the grave for us. That was coming out of the grave and defeating all of that for us. And so we can have hope because Jesus has already kept the law. And when I accept Jesus, I get his perfect record of law keeping. Number two, since Jesus is granting us victory, a perfect record of work because he did the work, we can work hard with confidence that results in stability. That means I know I'm not going to do it perfectly. I know I'm going to mess up and fail. But the Bible says in 1 John that I can confess my sins and he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So I can walk in confidence that even when I struggle, that he's already kept the law. That's my record. And now I can work hard just to walk in his footsteps. Number three, no matter who recognizes our work, God is going to use it for his purposes. You know, you don't need earthly recognition. It doesn't matter if anybody knows how faithful you are in loving and serving God and loving and serving others. Jesus knows. Why? Because it's his work. You don't get credit for it. You get credit for all the bad stuff. Jesus gets credit for all the good stuff. And he knows what he's done. Paul wrote in another passage, he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. And so we can trust that when we are serving God and trying to live a work worship life, that Jesus sees it, that he's honored by it, and that he will use it in his time and his way. And we have to remember, if Jesus kept the law, then he's the cornerstone of everything we do. Everything is built on him. If you think about what a cornerstone is, it's the very corner of the building that holds the whole building up and makes sure it's plumb. And it is perfect. Our law-keeping is only perfect because he is perfect. He is the bedrock. He is the foundation. And when we build our lives on him, he's able to do incredible things through us. And now this seed pod that is dying and decaying can allow life to come forth because of the gospel. What an incredible, incredible work that Jesus did in coming out of that tomb for you and me. And that's what we're celebrating today. We don't do Easter Sunday so we get people into church. That's not why we do this. There's people here today that you visited because it's Easter Sunday. We're really glad you're here. We do Easter Sunday. We do Resurrection Sunday because we want to see the work leave here. We want to take this gospel message out of this place to the whole world. That's why we do this. And the resurrection reminds us of the hope that we have. Let's stand and close in a word of prayer this morning and we'll wrap up our service.